Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Arya, you've got a story tonight here about COVID and mental illness. Apparently, they're trying to run the two of those together nowadays.
Well, they're calling them psychiatric disorders in the article that I have pulled up there, but I did find one that referred to them as mental illnesses. Evidently, they're alleging that one in five COVID-19 patients develops a mental illness.
They're claiming after COVID that they didn't already have it?
Well, it says that they're at greater risk of developing mental illness.
It's interesting. See, I would think that people who are forced to stay at home would be at greater risk of developing mental illness, whether or not they come down with COVID.
I would tend to agree, especially if we consider like depression, anxiety, and alcoholism and things like that to be, you know, diseases or mental health issues.
Yeah, and I think that they are, right?
I would agree.
So we're told.
But that's not what they're including in these numbers. They're not considering the massive amounts of people who are suffering from depression or anxiety or isolation or cabin fever or whatever because they've been sitting in isolation for the last 7 months. And I don't think that there are very many people in the United States who actually have been sitting just in their homes for the last 7 months.
Well, I
don't know.
Let's talk about the people in nursing homes. I have
the ones that Cuomo and other governors killed?
Well, the ones that they didn't kill.
Okay.
The ones that they killed probably got off reasonably well in comparison. I have a friend whom I visited nearly weekly.
So the researchers from Britain's Oxford University also found significantly higher risk of dementia, which is a brain impairment condition. So that at least would be a serious complication as a result of COVID-19, if that is the case. I don't consider anxiety, depression, and insomnia to necessarily be caused by the virus. That may be related to the lockdowns or something like that, but the idea that they're probably anxious and worried about getting COVID-19 again. They're probably anxious about long-term effects that people have been touting.
Maybe losing their job?
Yeah, it's no telling.
That might be a factor.
People have been worried that COVID-19 survivors will be at greater risk of mental health problems, and our findings show that this will be likely. I don't know. Who's been worried about that? I haven't given it any thought.
I'm worried that the whole world has mass hysteria. I'm worried that this, you know, the COVID is causing mental health issues in so much as people can't figure out what an expert is, don't know how to read, you know, they're talking about science and don't understand that the science is ambivalent at best.
The science is settled.
The science isn't settled on this. I mean, like...
Well, speaking of people losing their minds, we talked about this last night. Kids forgetting how to eat with forks and knives. Some of them regressing back into diapers.
I can believe that. When, you know, sort of negative change occurs in a child's life, they tend to get regressive.
What they're characterizing as mental illness here is anxiety, depression, or insomnia. I will agree that depression can be, you know, an issue of brain chemicals. In most cases, it probably isn't. When most people say they suffer from the depression, that they're probably just lazy and unmotivated. But sure, brain chemical imbalances are a thing. And
they do exist.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what a lot of the depression folks will fall back on, and I also question it because there's also been studies that show that taking a red sugar pill will also solve depression.
Well, sure. There's certainly studies that will show exercise, sunlight.
Sure.
And,
but you can't get a depressed person to go out and do that.
Losing weight. These
right, but you can't get a depressed person. You can tell a depressed person, hey, you ought to go for a walk today. It'll help you with your depression. They won't do it.
Right, but you might be unmotivated.
Right, but you might be able to get them to take a sugar pill.
Yeah, I certainly depression has been used as a crutch.
Yeah, it has.
And I'm not sure if it is more often used as a crutch. I don't know, but that's what I tend to think.
But I do believe the claim that the people who have, you know, survived, quote, COVID could possibly be diagnosed with these things more often simply because they're under extra stress. They've been told all these things about COVID and maybe they've lost their job or they're quarantined. I mean, there could be some extra stressors that could cause one to feel anxiety or be depressed.
No doubt if you've just had COVID, the likelihood of you having some anxiety seems a bit higher.
This is likely due to a combination of the psychological stressors associated with this particular pandemic and the physical effects of the illness, said Michael Bloomfield. I don't know what connections they're drawing between the physical effects and, you know, what they're essentially asserting is brain damage caused by COVID-19. It seems to me that most logical conclusion would be that, you know, this is just, these are psychological stressors that are being caused largely by the media lockdown. And by the lockdowns. Yeah.
Right. We're too, I believe the article at least is aiming in the direction of having us believe that somehow COVID causes the most difficult to diagnose mental illnesses out there, the most amorphous and difficult to diagnose mental illnesses out there. That's the biggest, sloppiest stretch I've heard in a while.
Well, the media is not known for anything more than they are known for fanning the fuel, fanning the flames of fear.
Well, yeah, why not just blame COVID for everything? It's COVID's fault that you lost your job. It's COVID's fault that you're feeling depressed. It's
has nothing to do with us running story after story after story on this and getting everybody whipped up to the point that
we, the media?
Yeah, collapse the economy.
Just for the sake of curiosity, would this not be the first coronavirus, the first cold, the first flu, the first pneumonia, the first any of these sorts of viral contagions that caused a mental illness?
Yeah, they're doing the crackdown. Remember I told you about the mask. They were using the mask. I told you it was going to escalate from that, and they were going to use the mask to, if the account went up, they can say, well, you're being disobedient, and you're going to be punished. And I also said that it would be arbitrary. Well, what they have done is they've divided the state into segments. Now, if you're in a blue segment, you're okay. But if you're in an orange section, you get more restrictions. And if you're in a red section, they close you down completely, and you can't leave your house unless it's for an emergency, and you can't go out of that contaminated region.
So how many of the regions are red segments or sections?
There's 92, and almost all of them are orange now.
Now, are these by zip code, or are they just arbitrary, like, you know, how
they're
they...
by county.
County,
they're
okay.
By county, and there's 92 counties here in the state of Indiana. So they've got that mapped out on the map, and they show that every time they get up there to threaten people, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if they come in your business, like I said, Homeland Security and the ATF is out now with their troops, and if they come to your business or your restaurant, and you've got an overpopulation of people in that, and they find that somebody in there has tested positive for COVID, right? Or your name is on a list.
You know, we read a story where basically 10,000 people actually died of only COVID, and that it was always a comorbidity with a bunch of other things. And don't forget that the median age, at least at one point for this, was 80 years old. So, you know, some of the factors are diabetes, obesity, old age. I mean, you're talking about fat 80-year-olds are dying. When? How long exactly were they going to live? And so... when we're talking about deaths now, we don't even know if any of these, some of these deaths that are, they exceed the excess death number in the United States, are they deaths of despair? We don't even know that. So, I mean, that's not, I can't speak to that. But what I can say is that I've kept a close eye on deaths in this chart here. And, well, it's, if you consider it normal, deaths between like 55,000 and 60,000 per week in the United States, and that's all causes, then we are in that range. We are above.
So it's normal.
We're above the excess death number by a little bit, but the excess death number is just sort of, I mean, like it's drawn arbitrarily, and it's difficult to say. I mean, you know, COVID's real. It appears.
Supposedly.
Sure. I don't have any belief that COVID isn't real, right? I'm sure the disease exists.
You guys were talking about, you know, people taking the, you know, the COVID test and stuff like that. And I've been very, you know, paranoid about, you know, having to do the test. I mean, in terms of just going to the hospital, because I was always afraid of getting the virus. But with that being said, for the last few weeks, I haven't really been, you know, up to par. I've had some pain in my arms and in the back of my neck, and it was so bad that I had to go in to go to the hospital. And when I got there, I had to do the COVID test where, you know, they have, it looks like a pair of chopsticks, and, you know, they put them up. I mean, it didn't go that far up into my nose, but it was like a like a couple hour result test. And mm-hmm. I came back, you know, without COVID-19. But what I did learn was that I have Lyme disease.
Oh, no.
You know, and, you know, so they got me on medication, and it's really painful because it starts right at the top of my spine, and then it goes down both of my arms and then right up to my wrists. And, you know, some days are better than others, but I think that the medication that they have me on is going to help that out.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Supposedly, there's a vaccine out there.
Oh, yeah. Then you can get the vaccine and be allowed to return to normal life. Ticketmaster in the news today. They say that you will be able to verify your COVID vaccination status, or rather, you'll be required to, before you can get a concert ticket.
Well, this is going to help people buy them on eBay. But, I mean, realistically, a vaccine isn't going to help because the antibodies for the COVID-19, SARS-CoV, whatever they're calling it, only lasts like 40-something days anyway. So you're going to have to get vaccinated every 30 days.
I don't know that. Hold on. Wait a second. So at this point, we don't know is really the answer.
There have been confirmed cases of people who have gotten it a second time. Yeah. So we know the antibodies are not permanent.
Okay, so
maybe in some people,
right? I believe
the
vaccine,
average seems to be about 40 to 60 days.
So we have talked about the mass hysteria that's going on. How do you solve the mass hysteria as politicians?
You stop fear mongering.
But then people are still scared. What happened? You told us. So here's what you do: you come out with a vaccine that's basically sugar water. You shoot people up with and say, circle, circle, dot, dot. Now you've got your cootie shot. You pat them on the ass and you send them out to go live life normally because now they're safe.
Mm. Yeah, I wanted to call with a update to the common COVID. And for
or not so common.
Yeah. Well, actually, it is getting to be quite common, almost as common as the common cold. Mm. But yeah, for listeners that don't know, my doctor wife and myself have our medical office, and we see many thousands of patients. But anyway, the deaths are still very, very low. Local hospital ICU is full, but it's unclear exactly how many are COVID patients.
Yeah, what is with that? Now, all of a sudden, because I remember months ago, they were talking about, we need more ICUs, and they like set up tents, and they made these temporary hospitals. And
didn't use them.
And almost none of them got used. Now we're seeing these reports again, and the last I saw was in Utah. They were saying the ICUs are full, hence they need to have a mask mandate now in Utah, which they didn't have before, is what the governor says there. So what do you think the reason is that these ICUs are full? Is this getting more severe, or is there something else going on?
No, ICUs tend to get full from time to time, and usually it's associated with something going around like the flu or that kind of thing. And this is the time of year when we're going to see more and more, especially older people, catching diseases and getting sick. And
This is flu season now, isn't it?
Yeah. Right. So, and I don't know which patients are in there. I don't have that information in front of me. But the hospital itself is mostly empty. The Constitution doesn't give the government the authority to restrict liberty for any kind of a emergency. I don't care if half the people, well, I mean, I care if half the people in the country were dying, but even if half the people in the country were dying, they don't have the authority to do these things. And now this is a precedent. You know, government loves precedents. They just send, I think they spend most of their time looking for things to make precedents out of. So now they've set a precedent to protect the
people. Well, the precedent was set a long time ago. I mean, the government granted itself the authority to violate the Constitution as much as it wanted. I mean, it's had internment camps. It's had concentration camps. So the Constitution, as you pointed out before we went to the break, it doesn't really matter. And you can spin its words pretty much any way you want. And people have done that to the Supreme Court to the extent that they are justifying concentration camps in the United States.
You can't, the federal government can't, you know, sort of do the lockdown measures, but the state governments can, and the feds can pressure the states into doing it. I mean, I don't know why the Supreme Court says that it's okay to, you know, put, you know, the entire American population on house arrest without habeas corpus, but that's what they've said.
It's not concentration camps. They're COVID freedom camps, kids. Come on in.
I mean, if you look at the situation, there are plenty of people who benefited from COVID-19. Follow the money has always been the prescription for figuring out how things are going. I mean, it's not.
Oh, Amazon's enormously up.
Yeah, but Amazon's up, sure. But what about the person who was basically at home making $600 a week plus unemployment for, you know, whatever percentage of their paycheck they were making? I mean, there were many people in America making more money being at home than they were at being at work.
Let's How's talk about, it going now?
Right. Not so great now, but that's why they want it again. Where's our sweet government check?
Right.
Bring back the lockdown. So the government workers, in many cases, are only half staff. So they're on Tuesdays and Thursdays while the other ones are on Mondays and Fridays, and everybody takes Wednesday off, and every, you know, and they're all on, you know, doing their job from Zoom. And there's plenty of people that would much rather, I mean, there's corporate workers from around the country who love this Zoom thing. People are fleeing New York and LA in droves, and now they don't have to pay the ridiculous rents and mortgage payments and these sorts of things.
Yep.
They're working from Cody, Wyoming, you know, and everything's fine. There's lots of people who benefited from COVID, and they want the benefits
they
saw.
They want to stick.
Now, the small business person in America, the person who worked hourly, you know, and these sorts of things, they got screwed, but nobody cares.
They report here out of CBS of Los Angeles that COVID-19 tests will be required. Ticketmaster says they are working on a plan to use smartphones to verify whether customers have been vaccinated or tested for coronavirus, according to Billboard. While the plan is still in early phases, Billboard reports the process would involve fans using the Ticketmaster app in partnership with medical information firms and vaccine and testing distributors.
Jesus, what part of locking entertainment behind a vaccine sounds like a good idea to people?
All the people who are afraid, I guess. I mean,
and
remember,
this is an issue with digital tickets. You know, I said this is going to drive up sales on eBay or for ticket sales and things
How
of that nature.
How do you resell a ticket that's not physical?
Yeah. Because I've gone to concerts in the last several years, and I think the last time I got a physical ticket was with the A Perfect Circle concert in like 2012.
Sometimes you can order the physical ticket from these online delivery firms. They'll just charge you like an extra $5 or something like that.
Okay.
I mean, maybe they'll get rid of that entirely, but
I mean, you
could
probably still resell the digital ticket, but then that person is going to have to jump through the same COVID-19 hoops.
Probably.
Presumably.
They're already discussing a vaccine passport. So essentially something that goes along with your passport in order to be able to travel. Now, passports are really important in some places in the world. Other places in the world, they're basically meaningless. Like in the United States, a vast majority of Americans will not leave the United States this year. At this point, I am not certain that the Flaming Lips show was a proposal as to how rock concerts will be heretofore.
No, I wasn't saying that.
Just this is interesting performance art. It's
dystopian performance art.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there was nothing interesting at all about it.
Well,
I mean,
it's interesting. We're talking about it.
But to actually experience it, I'm saying, would not have been particularly interesting because you would not be having, you know, the typical concert experience of actually being able to have the same level of energy in a room because, well, the room was maybe 1/6 the population of what it normally would be because everybody had 6 feet you know, around them of essentially little ball space, and they're standing alone.
So it was like 6 feet in diameter?
I would say at least a 6 foot in diameter
it's
because they were able to stand up.
Probably a 7 foot ball because people didn't have, their heads weren't touching against it.
They're standing up.
That's what I was just wondering. I was like, well, I'm 6 feet
foot.
Tall, so
let's
how
call
is this going to work?
Let's
You're
call
more
it
than
7 feet
tall.
So, anyway, let's call it seven. Plenty of space in between the people in these balls, and they're just there, like some of them are just dancing by themselves in this little ball. And of course you've got whatever thickness of plastic in between you and the speakers. Now again, I'll normally put earplugs in, so maybe it was fine, but those, that's not acoustic plastic. No, like, not- I come in there with the acoustic earplugs so I can still hear the high ends. Upon buying a ticket, fans would be required to either verify their vaccination status or prove they have tested negative for coronavirus within 72 hours prior to the concert dates.
It does sound like they're getting rid of paper tickets. If they're required to use the app, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, it also sounds like the... you know, the vaccine passport is basically being, you know, implemented from on high.
Mm-hmm.
Notice one thing they didn't say there is that that you could prove that you have had COVID. Right. So if you can prove you've had the vaccine, mm-hmm. then presumably proving that you've had COVID is equally as valuable. Right.
Not if you can get reinfected or whatever. Right.
The vaccine. What evidence do we have at this point that the vaccine means that you can't get reinfected?
Mm hmm.
So
good point. We don't have any evidence about it.
Right.
It doesn't exist.
The vaccine's on at this point.
Well, there's dozens of them that are being tested, supposedly.
Right, but there's one that's supposedly being rolled out in the very near future.
Whichever one gave the government the most money or something like that.
I don't have any answers, but to me it sounds like sugar water.
Well, I'm not going to claim what is in these vaccines. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I think a lot of people are legitimately concerned with receiving some basically experimental drug. I mean,
it is. And every time they've rushed out vaccines in the past, the results have been catastrophic.
Really?
Yeah. Wasn't there one of the other viruses? I don't recall exactly which one, the swine flu, the pig flu, one of these, not the bird flu. One of these had a vaccine and it killed people.
Well, at this point, any business could demand to have have a COVID test before getting in.
That's what they're doing.
Well, they're certainly doing that in countries. I mean, if you're traveling from one country to another, I've got to do some international traveling coming up here in the future, and I'm going to have to go get a COVID test.
If you're traveling from one state to another, Vermont is requiring quarantine for all, quote, non-essential travelers.
The state things, though, are a little wishy-washy. Whether they say it or not, they can't tell whether or not you're going to stop in Vermont.
Well, they're apparently, according to the story at WNYT, they are saying that plainclothes Vermont state troopers will be on the lookout starting Thursday for people entering the state at popular spots and stores. At this point, however, they say there is no formal enforcement policy in place. So they're just going to keep an eye on it.
There's a difference between traveling through Vermont and stopping off at a convenience store and getting a Gatorade.
Well, that's the question. What is the definition of traveling?
Right.
Am I traveling to Vermont if I go and shop at the Home Depot in Brattleboro?
A girl that I'm seeing lives in Brattleboro.
Mm-hmm. Are you traveling to Vermont if you go and see her once?
Not essentially.
Well, if you're non-essential, you're not allowed, or you have to quarantine for 2 weeks, or quarantine for 1 week.
I'm allowed wherever I damn well want to go.
So I wanted to call in about jury nullification.
Okay, sure. Let's define it for our listeners that don't know. Do you want to?
Sure. So jury nullification is basically if you believe a law is unjust, you don't have to go with what the judge or what the law says. Like, if you believe that, you know, selling drugs, you know, shouldn't be illegal, you can vote your conscience and say, and vote not guilty.
Right. If you're sitting on the jury of a alleged drug dealer and they've got the evidence is clear, he sold the drugs. I mean, they got him on video. He's definitely sold some drugs to an undercover cop or whatever. You could still vote not guilty because your conscience says this is a bad law. That's what jury nullification is.
And I specifically want to bring that up because after I'd gone to New Hampshire to get Chris's stuff, I had, I don't know what it's called, but I was given like the documents to go for a jury, but I couldn't find them.
A summons, but a jury summons.
I did qualify for them, yeah.
So wait, you were summoned to a jury in Maryland where you live?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my mom called them up and said that I had lost the documents, and then they were like, they didn't care, just to call in anyways. So with the COVID stuff, you know, if people don't qualify, you can just tell them that you lost the documents and you can still be served on jury if you don't qualify.
I just wanted to actually say something about Amaranth on Twitch right now because
Amaranth is a female Twitch, Twitch being the online streaming, video streaming platform. We stream there, for instance, over at twitch.lrn.fm. She's a Twitch hottie. She's one of these girls that basically, like, does... I saw her one time when somebody linked to her in the chat. She was doing, like, Twister by herself or something like that. So she sort of... you know, shows off her body, basically, and gets donations from thirsty guys. Is that pretty much the gig?
Well, yeah, except, well, that's even a step up, because at least she was, if she was doing Twister before, that's even a step up, because she's not doing anything now. Because right now, because I've got her actually pulled up my laptop right now, and all she's doing nothing. She's just rubbing the microphone, and okay. And she's rubbing a really hot condenser microphone.
Don't they call that ASMR? And I don't remember what that stands for, but it's like where you whisper and like rub on a microphone and people get really weird about it. Like they're really into
dude,
it.
It's funny you mentioned that's what she actually has in her description right now. ASMR.
That's
I don't know
what it
that
is. Renee, my ex, is actually in the room with us here. We came across this a few years ago. It was on the React. I think it was on the React channel, if I recall correctly. And it was this is one of these channels on YouTube. It's very popular, right. Millions of subscribers, and they have people react to videos usually, or like stimulation or whatever. And so they had this ASMR episode where people were putting on headphones, and they were given like a warning in advance, and they were told that this could make you feel very strange. And so like they were, you know, there was all this build
prepped
around it. And they recommended to the people that were watching the video at home to put headphones on to have the proper experience of whatever this was. And so here's what it stands for. According to sleep.org, ASMR stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response, which is a still relatively new creation, they say. It describes a feeling of euphoric tingling and relaxation that can come over someone when he or she watches certain videos or hears certain sounds. What kind of visual or audio clips can create such a lovely feeling? It might surprise you, but the videos are of people doing incredibly simple, quiet, calming tasks, such as folding towels, brushing their hair, or flipping magazine pages.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.